Welcome to Long Live the Music, a podcast from It's All Dead, made by music fans for music fans. I'm Kyle Hawk. Welcome to Long Live the Music. I'm Kyle Hawk, editor-in-chief at itsalldead.com. Thank you for joining us on the show today. Excited to have the whole It's All Dead gang together today. We're doing a much long overdue trio podcast. I've got Kyle Schultz and Nadia Alves joining me today on the podcast. Hello to both of you. How are you doing?
Heyo.
Howdy, howdy. Doing good.
This is a treat. We have trouble aligning all of our schedules from time to time, so it's fun when we're all able to kind of like jump on a podcast together. And today's, I think, is going to be fun. You know, I like when we're all able to do this because I try to think of the most random stuff for us to talk about. And I think a lot of times, hopefully for you, it turns out being fun. And for the listeners, it ends up being fun. I mean, people keep listening to the show, so it must not be terrible. But a while back, I was listening to a song that I really like that I don't even listen to on Spotify because I don't like, you know, you can see like what people are listening to in the sidebar. And so when I want to listen to stuff that I don't want everybody to see that I'm listening to, I'll like find it on YouTube and listen to it there. And I was doing this a while back. I've been doing this for so long and I was doing it a while back and I was like, this is insane. Like, why do I do this? We should actually do a podcast where we reveal like all of the songs that we do, like behave that way around. And so when I pitched this to both of you, I basically was like, I want us to talk about our favorite bad, air quote, bad songs. And the whole idea behind this is that, you know, I mean, we all have guilty pleasures. We all have music that we like that is maybe outside the bounds of, you know, our typical wheelhouse of taste. But, you know, I went through a time in my life, and I don't know if it was like this for either of you, but when I was, you know, late high school, in college, even after college, and I was really getting into music, like, you know, there's this realization that you have at a certain point where, like, we all know people that like listen to the radio and whatever plays on the radio, like that's what they like. There's people approach this stuff differently, and I'm an obsessive when it comes to music. And so I developed very strong opinions, and I was kind of that guy at the party that was like, you know, very quick to like shoot down music that other people liked, or quick to be like, oh, I don't listen to that. That sucks. Like I was a jaded jerk music fan for quite a while in my late teens and early 20s. And it's something that as I've grown, I've kind of like grown out of but been much more open to not only, you know, the music that I like that maybe isn't as cool as I wish that it was, but also being open to like everybody's experience being different and everybody kind of liking what they like. And as that time has gone on, I've been much more, I guess, open and revealing about some of the music I like that may not be like super cool or something. But this podcast, I'm hoping to kind of like crack that wide open and share my deepest, darkest secrets. As I'm saying all of this, I mean, I know both of you pretty well. And I think maybe both of you have at least at some point in your life shared that quality that I was talking about to some extent, but maybe not to the extent that I was. But like, Kyle, I even remember us talking about when we first, you know, when Fall Out Boy broke big, I think both of us were kind of like Fall Out Boy, that, yeah, who would listen to that, right? Although we were kind of like secretly starting to like them and became fans later. Do you feel like that's like a part of your journey as a music fan, Kyle?
A little bit. I wasn't severe about it. I had my big sins. I had really strong opinions against Good Charlotte, which I still do. Not a fan. But yeah, I didn't like Fall Out Boy when they first came out. I was like, who are these choir kids? What's this? And then like a year later, I'm like, oh no, I think I'm in love with all of them.
What about you, Nadia?
Yeah, so I think judging by the conversation I had with Jeremiah in the car the other day where we were discussing some of the things that could be on my list, and he said, I forget what we were talking about. I think we were talking about a song his brother was showing me, and I was like, I think that's a terrible song. And it's just because I don't like it. I don't even think it's that bad. I'm not going to say the song, and I'm not going to call out the brother-in-law because I'm going to be nice. But Jeremiah was like, people can like other things and you don't have to like them back. And I don't think that I've learned that yet, but I probably should. Yeah, so I think I'm still there.
I mean, yeah, it's a, you know, again, if you love music, I almost feel like that's a part of, you know, everybody's life at some point. And also being said that we all kind of have this core interest in a very particular scene of music that also tends to foster, or at least historically has fostered, groupthink in the moment type stuff of like, this band rules, this band sucks, you know? And I think that that is kind of part of it too. But I made a specific choice tonight with my list to not focus on scene music at all. I left it all off. And we're going to start this in a minute and kind of start sharing some of these songs. But as both of you asked when I brought it up, like, well, what constitutes a bad song? What do you mean by that? And so basically the idea that I told to you, and I'll tell to the audience now so you can kind of understand what we're doing here. It's a song that if you told people that you liked it, and by the way, these aren't songs that, oh, I like that song, listen to it. These are songs that I love. Like, I secretly love them and they mean something to me. And if I told somebody that I love them that much, if that person knew me, they'd be, one, surprised, and then two, either respond with like laughter or like, what the hell, man? That's really weird. So again, the definition is going to be flimsy and different for probably everybody, but the idea being that there's songs that kind of go beyond that guilty pleasure thing. We're like, we really like them and they mean something to us, but it's also maybe kind of weird that we like them. At least that's the way I approached it. And we'll kind of see what everybody comes with here. But one thing I found is I definitely went back in time on my list. And I think it's because, like I was talking about earlier, I'm not really like this anymore. Like, I'm really open about all of the, there's no like new music that comes out that I'm like, oh, I'm not going to tell anybody I like this. I just am open about it. But during the times in my life where I was growing up and couldn't share things that I liked for fear of, like, you know, being made fun of, then that's where a lot of my songs kind of came from. Before we jump in, did either of you have that experience as you were making the list, or do your songs feel recent or old, or what's that breakdown like?
For me, it was kind of a bit of a time capsule. Like, a lot of it is music that I think a decent portion of it kind of came out like when I was still in college, and you know, I was kind of fermenting myself. I'm like, these are the bands I love and I've loved them forever and I'm still following them into the future. And it was that divide where a lot of the people that I was growing up with were just like, we're done listening to music. I don't care about any of the bands I loved a year ago. I'm just going to listen to the radio. Have you heard this? I'm like, I didn't even know that was an artist.
That's amazing. What about you, Nadia?
Yeah, a lot of mine are also, I don't want to say old because I feel like it makes you guys feel bad because you guys are like a few years older than me.
You are good at making us feel bad.
I'm not trying to. It's not on purpose, okay? But yeah, definitely a lot of nostalgia went into my list because I just think about like some of the songs I was listening to in high school. And it's not that they're bad, but like, are they the best they could be? Probably not.
Just slightly outside of the wheelhouse you would associate yourself with, where you're like,
yes, exactly.
Oh,
like,
no. If
you talked about putting your Spotify, turning your Spotify off. Have you used the private session button?
I have, and I do that.
I use the private session button every once in a while.
Yeah. And that's what we're talking about, the private session button on Spotify. What are those songs?
Yeah, so, and I was thinking about it just when you said it. I can't think of anything that I used it on last.
Well, let's get into this. Let's start the list, and I'll kick us off with the song that gave me the idea to do this podcast. So, and this one is, as I'm looking at the list, it might be the least egregious of all of them, but for some reason it was the one that kind of like brought to my mind that we should talk about this. And the song is Broken by Seether featuring Amy Lee. So I'm going to talk about this in a couple ways. One, why do I think it's a bad song? Two, why do I love it? And three, try to maybe defend it a little bit. Like, if I were to give my biased take on why I would argue to somebody that this actually isn't as bad as you think that it is. So first of all, Seether sucks. That band, we try to be nuanced at It's All Dead. We try to like, you know, see the good and things, but like Seether is not a good band. They're kind of to me, the epitome of what that post grunge type sound turned into that was like just extremely watered down and, you know, without any sort of like distinguishable character or personality. And there's nothing musically about this song that you've never heard before or that you would probably want to hear again. So what's the problem? Why do I like this? One, I was a huge Evanescence fan when that came out, which was also, by the way, the same part of this sort of post-grunge, post-new metal type rock sound. But they were much better, mostly because Amy Lee is one of the most amazing singers that is on this planet. And when I was in college, I had Amy Lee posters hanging on my wall. I had Evanescence t-shirts. I was a regular commenter on the Evanescence fan message boards. I was like all in on her. And she is incredible. Like, she literally, if she wasn't in this song, I would never listen to it. But her harmonies with the Seether guy, I don't even know his name, are so good. She like literally lifts a band making a bad song to another level and makes it actually kind of enjoyable. Also, great music video caricature. They're in sort of like a wasteland type thing. There's like burning stuff and run down, you know, just old weird furniture. But Amy Lee's walking around. She's wearing black angel wings, which is like the coolest thing I can think of for Amy Lee to be doing in like 2003. And yeah, I just, when I hear this song, I get emotional. Her voice is beautiful. The harmonies are great. I visualize the music video in my head when I see it, and I like it. And, you know, if people don't, well, you know, this podcast is all about us coming clean and, you know, defending the things that we love. So, yeah. First one off the board. Who wants to go next? Well, first of all, do either of you know this song that I'm talking about?
I've definitely heard it, but I can't recall it in my mind right now.
Never listened to it, but I do like Evanescence.
If you like Evanescence and you like guys with like really gravelly voices that can barely sing,
I don't know how I feel about the second part.
Okay. Nadia, why don't you go next with your first
song? It's always me. Okay. the first song on my list, I realize that my list is probably not going to be very, well, no, you know, I don't think anything's going to be surprising. But my first song is because I started making this list on a day trip with Jeremiah, and we were listening to my pop playlist, and I was like, I was like, all right, this one, is it good or is it bad? And we were like, this one's good, and then we would skip it, or it was bad, and we would skip it. But the first one on my list is Chumbawamba's Tub Thumping, because not only is it a good song, okay, it's a great song, but it is a little embarrassing for me to be like, that is one of my favorite songs, because it's not very well written. but like, sometimes, you know, we get knocked down and we get back up again, and it just feels really good to say that sometimes over and over.
It's true. So give me, where were you the first time that you heard Tub Thumping by Chumbawamba? Because I remember distinctly when this song came out, and it feels a little like it predates the Nadia.
Yeah, what a stupid question. I don't know. Let me Google what year Tub Thumping came out.
I bet it was like 96 or something.
96. Oh my God, guess what? It came out the year I was born. No wonder I like it.
There you go.
It was released on August 11th. I was like 10 days old. No wonder I like Chumbawamba. No wonder.
Kyle, I think we might be answered. Old.
Again, I don't mean to make you guys feel bad, but like, this is my lived experience, you know. 10 days old, I get knocked down and I get up again.
I don't feel bad. That's a great song amazing. For this list. That's exactly
it's a good one, right? Mm-hmm.
I have a very distinct memory of being in fifth grade with one of my very close friends, and we were singing that, and we got to the part where it's like, pissing the night away, and his mom just turned around in the car and just went, shut up, you can't say that, no.
Incredible. Kyle, what's your first song?
So this one, the backstory for this is when I was in college, I had a coworker at Panera Bread with me who was really into EDM, and he wanted to be a DJ, and he was just throwing me artists and CDs, and I hated all of them. I'm talking dozens of artists, hundreds of songs. He's like, no, try this one. Like, you got to listen to the beat. And like, I hate the beat and I hate you. And he finally gave me this one. And I hate almost everything else on the album. Like, the album's trash, but Party Rock Anthem by LMFAO is a fucking jam. I love that song so much. And it's like 10 years later. And oh my God, it still feels real to me.
It's still real to me, damn it. It's so funny because, like, what I love about this is I know you really well, Kyle. I feel like I do. And that's just not ever a song I would have ever expected you to. You've never brought it up in conversation, and I never would have expected you to.
If you want to get me to start dancing, that's the one.
I love it. They were, so right, like, the first weekend after I moved to Indianapolis, the Super Bowl was here, and they were playing, like, a concert downtown, like, the night before the Super Bowl or something. And I just remember that because there was, like, millions of people, and I'm like, fuck, LMFAO or what? Is that the name? What is it again?
LMFAO.
Yeah. I didn't have time for it. But, you know, it's great. I love it, man.
Can I give you music history?
Yes.
Yeah.
So Jeremiah was telling me about this in the car because you texted me and you were like, oh, Party Rock Anthem. And I hadn't listened to that one in a while. It does hold up. I will say it does hold up. And did you know, not only is LMFAO a nephew and uncle duo, the uncle is the son of this guy from the Motown movement called Berry Gordy, and he wrote ABC and I Want You Back for the Jackson 5.
That's
why I'm lying. Did you know that?
I didn't know anything that you just said.
I didn't know that either. And I was very impressed by that. But I think what I'm more impressed with is the fact that after all of that legacy, they wrote Party Rock Anthem instead. Like, yeah, let's do Sexy and I Know It. Not like something that is heartfelt, like, you know, ABC or any of his other good hits. But no, nope. Sorry for Party Rockin', etc.
I'm going to share a really quick story that's an inside joke that only Kyle is going to get. And maybe if I know somebody that's listening to this podcast that I don't know that they listen to it. But so Kyle and I have a mutual friend called Brandon, named Brandon. And when we all worked together at Angie's List, there was a day where I, you know, we were taking calls and I took off my headset and I turned and I said, hey, Brandon. And he turned around and I said, I'm sorry for Party Rocking. And he, like, literally just stared into my soul for like 5 seconds and, like, quietly turned back around. And I don't know why I still remember that so vividly, but I was like, oh, he didn't think that was as funny as I was hoping.
Oh, that's amazing.
Okay, let's keep this moving. My next song is Back Here by BB Mac. Does that name ring a bell for anybody? Kyle's shaking his head.
Definitely recognize it.
So BB Mac was a band in the late 90s. I mean, they may still be going, but they came out right as kind of the whole boy band thing was happening. BB Mac was a little bit different because they all, at least on all their videos, they had were all holding and playing acoustic guitars. Whether they actually played guitar or not, I don't know, but it was a 3-piece boy band and their big hit was Back Here. And the cool thing about BB Mac, and I say this, the cool thing, I don't know if that's the right word, but the thing that kind of, like, set them apart a little bit is that they weren't, like, just straight up, like, bubblegum pop. It was almost like combining that alternative pop rock of the 90s with the boy band wave. And Back Here, it's just a beautiful song. The harmonies are great. If you listen to it, the chorus is stuck in your head for like a week straight. I wrote down notes on this. One, I can't imagine how many mix CDs this was on back in the 90s, like with a Sharpie marker that you would write on the CD with. Empty swimming pool video, very underrated music video setting. If you really want to create like a heartfelt, like, sad vibe, like, record yourself singing in an empty swimming pool, because it's a sad setting. Like, everyone wants to see the swimming pool full, not empty. So it's a really nice touch on their part. But this song, like, was a song that I secretly liked at the time. I definitely couldn't have told anybody that when I was in high school, because it did not fit what I was, I think, known for enjoying back then. But it came back around, interestingly, several years ago. And I say the mix CD thing, a group of friends and I, we all found, like, the oldest, like, mix CD, like I was talking about, like a Sharpie marker, like, old CD we'd made from back in the day. And we had lunch together and we all traded this. We just put them in a pile on the table and shuffled them up, and everybody took one to listen to what somebody else's, like, old mix CD was. And the one I got had this song on it. And I was like, oh my God, I forgot about this and I love it so much. And so, I am here for the BB Mac, one hit wonder song Back Here. So yeah, Nadia, what do you got?
Okay. My next song is on the list, not because I was embarrassed about it when I originally heard it, but because now it is extremely outdated and politically incorrect. And I'm sure you all know exactly what song I'm talking about. And that is Mood Rings by Reliant K. I still love that song. Yes. It's a fun time. It's a good one.
Oh my
all right.
God,
it's the reason. It's the reason I wash my hair on Tuesdays and on Fridays because I like you Wednesday, but now it's Friday. I have to wash my hair. And I don't know why. I don't know why they wrote that. Because it's pretty mean. I don't actually do all the things in the song, but I do a lot of them. And it can't be denied. It's still a good song.
So for our listeners out there, if you are into a band like Reliant K, you'll probably be interested in this. There's this podcast. I want to say it's called Good Christian Fun or something, but they did like a whole Reliant K episode of like diving into like early Christian rock Reliant K, and it is hilarious. And the interesting thing about that song is that at that time there was a book put out in Christian bookstores written by Reliant K. I don't think they actually wrote it, but it was like written by the guys from Reliant K, and it was called The Complex Infrastructure of the Female Mind or something like that. And it was all about like, man, girls, right? They're crazy. And it's one of those things like you look back on now and it's like so cringy. But it's also hilarious because it was like such a specific time in the pop punk world. And that is I did not see that coming, Nadia, but I am so thrilled. If we top this moment on the podcast, I'll be impressed because that
really?
Was a good one.
That's actually surprising to me. But yeah, and like it also, if we want to get serious, it kind of brings back the whole situation of like the way purity culture was so rampant in like the early 2000s. And, mm-hmm. you know, we could get serious about it, but we won't. But there is definitely some stuff there. To unpack. Oh, yeah. And I do still walk by like a Claire's or, you know, a gift shop and be like, should I get a mood ring just for the posterity of it all, you know?
Girls are emotional, man. You never know what they're thinking. You got to get a mood ring on them so we'll actually know. I mean, geez, it's hard being a guy. Okay. That was incredible.
You lost
Thank
me.
You. Kyle, what do you got?
My next pick is Chicken Fried by Zac Brown Band. Not a
no.
I don't like Zac Brown Band. I'm not into like jam bands. I'm not really a country guy. And I think Chicken Fried has some very pedantic moments in it, like the just kind of force-fed patriotism somewhere in the middle, but I love it.
That's amazing. I have not heard that song. I've never heard a song by Zac Brown Band. But I did discover recently, this past winter, somebody told me that Zac Brown, I guess, has his own wine. And it's actually pretty good. I bought a couple bottles of it and really enjoyed it. So who would have thunk it that
well played.
Chicken Fried Man would have a good bottle of wine.
I think Chicken Fried is a good song. And I do remember where I was when I first heard that song because my family went through a big country phase when I was like growing up. We have this radio station over here. It's called Cat Country. I don't know if you guys have that. I really don't know if it's like if it's one of those like nationwide ones. May not be.
I don't know.
But I tell you, they love Chicken Fried, and that in turn made us love Chicken Fried too.
That's amazing. I mean, we're in the Midwest, so there's like no shortage of country stations to choose from. But yeah.
No, my history at that song is when we worked with Angie's List, we worked with a guy named Luke, who was really big into Zac Brown Band. And he was he was sending me a bunch of like music videos one day, just like, you got to get into this. And I spent like a week just, I don't know, trashing on it. And he finally sent me this one. And another thing where I was just like, I'm in my early 20s and I have too much pride to say I'm sorry.
It's so funny to me that like during that time of life, like you and I were sharing like, you know, Chiodos and Hands Like Houses songs back and forth. And then separately, you and Luke were sharing country music or something. I had no idea that was going on. That's hilarious.
And that's really weird, too, because now that I'm thinking about it, country is a whole genre that I'm like secretly into, but I don't I don't really broadcast that one. You know, country is kind of like the one genre that I don't really do. But I do like the 2010s country, like the Miranda Lambert stuff. But yeah, Chicken Fried is definitely up there. It's a good one.
So my next song is actually considered one of the worst songs of all time. This is like when people make lists of the worst songs that have ever been made. This is a song that's on the list.
I'm so excited.
It's on my list because, and I actually, I'm not revealing this for the first time. And when I started that Eras of Influence series that I'm writing for It's All Dead, I started with this because this is the first song that I ever remember. I don't know how old I was, you know, a couple years old, but this is the first song I remember hearing and being like, oh, I like that enough that my mom bought me the cassette single of it. And it's We Built the City by Starship. And, you know, so I get all these years later why this is considered like one of the worst songs ever, but I'll never, like, I have really warm memories of it because it was like one of my, it's attached to some of my first memories as a human being. One of the things I, you know, people like to dig on is there's a break in the song where there's like, you hear a DJ talking. There's like a standard version of it, but they did it in such a way that like every station that played it could have their own DJ talking and like giving a blurb for the station or whatever. And it's kind of like, I mean, it's admittedly dumb and it's an easy way to sell a song to radio to get played. So like, there's a lot of reasons to not like it, but also that's kind of cool. Cause I'm like a radio guy and I kind of miss the days of, you know, the radio DJ that you knew their name and all that stuff. So like, I kind of like that part about it. The music video, if you've never watched it, it is like literally batshit insane. It's like everything that is easy to make fun of about the 80s, like just crammed into like 1 3-minute music video. And it's absolutely incredible. But yeah, there's never going to be a time where the song or the accompanying song on the other side of the cassette single, Sarah, that either of these songs come on and I don't want to like enjoy every second of it. So, so yeah, that's my next one. What do we got?
I think You Built the City is good, personally.
There you go. Thank you.
That's fine. It's fine if you think it's bad. Okay, my next song is just kind of on the same veins of party rock is Like a G6. I don't know why that song came out and I said, this is something I enjoy. I am an in bed by 8:30, like straight edge child. I don't go out when it's dark and I'm certainly not a party girl, but something about Like a G6 has just pulled me in. Like, yeah, okay, I will drink it up, drink it up. I will, I guess. water, right? But yeah, I don't know. There's something about Like a G6 that's actually good. I think I can't defend it. I can't defend it because it's not good, but like it's mid-2000s. It's
yeah, so I mean, good. What is it about that song? What is it about that song specifically that you like?
I have no idea. I don't know if it's like the instrumentation. I don't know if it's the hell yeah. I don't know what it is about Like a G6, but I can't get away from it. Every time it comes across like my pop playlist, or if I hear it on the radio, I'm still like, it is time to party.
Is that the one where they talk about being slizzard?
Yes, yeah, it is. Okay. Sick and slizzard, absolutely. I don't know what that means. And I've definitely never been it. But I like to think maybe in another life there's a me who does act like a G6, perhaps.
Nobody knows what it means.
It's not this one. It's not this me.
All right.
Like a G6, everybody.
I like it. Kyle.
This one I can't explain, but it My Humps by the Black Eyed Peas.
Oh boy. Oh man.
How could you?
This might be the worst one so far.
I don't have an excuse or a reason, but it's kind of my thing.
It's your thing.
That's really weird out of context.
Yeah. What?
I don't know how it came across my path other than one of my friends in college is playing it and singing it. And I think at the time I was like, really generic pop. And then I just go home and be like, this is awesome.
That's amazing. And it's funny because, you know, Black Eyed Peas is a group that like, you know, was this kind of cool underground hip hop group. Then they got signed, added Fergie, and like turned into a completely different thing. And so like My Humps almost represents like that full transformation from what they were previously to what they were like at the height of their popularity. So you've got like these two opposing sides of like just straight up, you know, pop music built for like mass consumption versus like their original audience and fans who are like, that's the opposite of everything that we ever loved about you or whatever. So it's really fascinating. And I'm glad I thought about putting a Black Eyed Peas song on this list myself. There's a couple that I enjoy from even their, you know, their big years. I was thinking about Where's the Love and Shut Up are both two like songs that I enjoy, and they're not really good. So glad Black Eyed Peas made an appearance. My next one is That's the Way It Is by Celine Dion. And so picture this. It's 1999. Celine Dion is coming off of this run of dominance in the early to mid 90s era with like straight adult contemporary ballads. I mean, obviously My Heart Will Go On from the Titanic soundtrack, but she had all these like adult contemporary hits. And that time passed. Like, we moved into this late 90s era that was defined by a completely, like, pop music and even adult contemporary to an extent was defined by a completely different sound. Like, we had Britney Spears in our life. We had Christina Aguilera, Backstreet Boys, NSYNC. And so what does Celine Dion do? She records a song that sounds like what would happen if your mom heard the music that was being made in 1999 and was like, I'm actually going to go to the studio and record a hit. And the music video also looks like if your mom was like, I'm going to make a music video for this song. It's like she's in her living room or something. She's like, you know, spinning around on a chair. It is incredible to watch. It is incredible to witness. And it's like kind of the only song like this in the entire Celine Dion catalog. But it is like so damn catchy. And it is so fun. You can hear a Canadian accent come through in it, like in really fun ways, because you tell she's trying so hard to make this song that's like going to fit what's happening in the moment, even though like nobody's asking her to do that. And it's not, I'm making it sound like a train wreck. I like it. It's a good, I enjoy listening to the song, but it is not a good song. And it's probably the weirdest Celine Dion moment who's had a string of weird moments, even not that long ago, but yeah, there it is. Any other Celine Dion fans out there?
No.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you want me to make you feel old again, I was also an infant when Titanic came out.
Yeah. Why are you doing this to us?
It's just fun sometimes to make you guys sad. Anyway.
What's your next song?
Is it my turn? It is my turn. All right. My next song is actually a genre. And it's songs from musicals. I'm a big musical fan. I haven't seen like all of them, but my favorite movie for forever is Fiddler on the Roof. It's a great movie, and it's not that I'm ashamed of it, but I feel like it is unexpected. I was obsessed with Les Mis when they did the remake in 2013. Love me some Phantom of the Opera. I'm not really shy about the musical thing, but you kind of have to ask, you know. Are you a musical fan? Like, yes, I am. Let me talk to you about it. Let me talk to you about my Lord and Savior, you know, Idina Menzel. musicals are really good. I haven't gotten into too many lately, but I think that they're worthy of note because it well written music.
Yeah, I mean, there's probably people that like diss on musicals or something, but like the musical theater crowd is like some of, I mean, that's like real shit. And also most snobbish like music people too. So
probably
it's kind of
that's where I get it from, you know. it's musicals all the way down. But yeah, I'm a big musical fan. That's all.
Yeah,
I don't have to defend musicals because they've been around for years, so they defend themselves.
Yeah, I think musicals are doing okay for themselves. What do you got next, Kyle?
Just to kind of follow up on that, I like musicals. I'm not super big into them. What I am big into is every Disney song ever recorded. Your boy knows the words to literally 50 movies worth of music.
Oh, I'm with you on that.
I wasn't really allowed to do the Disney thing when I was a kid, so I haven't seen a lot of them, actually.
I grew up wanting to be an animator, so I watched them throughout my entire life, good and bad. So yeah.
It's interesting. I mean, we grew up kind of like during the Disney resurgence in the 90s. And, you know, I mean, obviously they're not only were the movies like big hits, but the soundtracks were just loaded all the time. Right. And so we know all those songs. And now having a daughter and going back and watching some of these movies now, like almost all of them, there's stuff where I'm like, oh, whoops, that didn't hold up.
Sorry,
mixed bag.
Sorry, I kind of threw the conversation off on a sidetrack. My next up, going back to the realm of country, is Bartender by Lady Antebellum or Lady A, whichever you prefer.
Good
to call
one.
At the moment. It's a song that for me, it shouldn't exist, being a blend of like dance music and country, but it's so catchy.
You're surprising me with the country stuff.
For a brief time, I was trying to get into it because I was like, it's so prevalent. There has to be something there I really like. And I'm noticing more and more there's very little there I like, but what I find I very much enjoy.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I've kind of found that almost everybody has at least a select number of country songs that they enjoy. Even though it's like kind of, if you're not a country music fan, there's a lot of people that revile country music. And there's all kinds of reasons that we can get into. We don't have time on this podcast if you want to talk about the country music industry. But, you know, certainly it's country music has been around a really long time. And there's some good stuff in there. So, So my next song is What's Love by Fat Joe, Ashanti, and Ja Rule. And this one's interesting because this song came out probably like 2002 or something. I want to say I was like a senior in high school when this came out. And I loved it. It had a great beat. Ashanti, like any song that she got on at that time, like singing the hook, like it was just a bona fide hit. I didn't realize that people hated this song. And so every year my wife and I host a huge Halloween costume party, and probably like 5 or 6 years ago, we had this party, and I always make the playlist, and I do like spooky songs mixed with just like other random songs. And I happened to put this song in the playlist and it came on, and I'm standing by these two people, and they're like talking about what a terrible song it is. And I don't think they knew that I was standing there or that I made the list, but I was just like, what the hell? Like, people don't like this? What's going on? And then for listeners of this podcast, you're familiar with Brock Benefiel, who joins us from time to time. He and I have been known to take summer road trips to go to baseball games, and we make playlists of like, late 90s, early 2000s rap music. And so a couple years ago, we're on a road trip and this song comes on. He's in the passenger seat, and I swear to God, he acted like he was about to unbuckle his seatbelt, open the door, and just roll out onto the highway. Like, that's how much he wanted to get away from this song. And I was like, what is happening right now? Apparently people hate it. And look, I get it. Ja Rule's on it, and that guy sucks. And I get it. It's pretty misogynistic and sleazy and not really that great from a content perspective. But the beat's good. It was right in Fat Joe's wheelhouse. Ashanti, she tears it up. I enjoy it. Even now when it comes on, I still enjoy it. I know I shouldn't, but, there you go. That's what this is all about. So, yeah, Nadia, you're up.
All right. This is my last one. Was that your last one?
That was my last one. I've got honorable mentions that I'm going to do.
I only have like one honorable mention because I wasn't sure if we were going to have repeats, but so far we haven't. And my final song on my list is something that I'm also not ashamed of. And it's Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Mm.
Good song. Yeah. It's a good one.
It is
a
good song.
I like it.
And I think that we should like it more as a society. Anyway, so the song was actually written for Meatloaf, if you are familiar with Meatloaf. I'm actually not.
Wow.
But it was supposedly to be recorded by him, and for some reason Meatloaf was like, no, I don't want it. And so now the guy who wrote it claims that he wrote it for Bonnie Tyler. Yep, absolutely. Yep, definitely you wrote it for the person who had no career. Certainly, we believe you. And she did kill it. All right, she did kill it. She did only kill it once, but she killed it. And that's why we like Total Eclipse of the Heart. We don't have to defend it because it's a great 80s ballad. I think that it's pretty quintessential 80s. And I've only come into an appreciation for 80s music in the last few years. I used to think it was terrible, but now I think I get it.
Yeah.
Nice.
But Total Eclipse of the Heart is still one of my favorite songs. I'll listen to that song any day, anytime.
I like it. I like it a lot. Kyle, what's your last one?
So this one might be a bit much because it has a story attached to it. And so the story is, in college, I was still kind of, you know, finding who I was as a person. And I was real big into, like, you know, the punk scene and everything. So I was listening to a lot of hardcore music and stuff. And one of my close friends, his favorite artist was Jason Mraz. And he just wouldn't listen to anything I had to, like, we'd trade music and he just was not into anything I was listening to. He was like, well, what do you think about this Jason Mraz song? I'm like, it sucks. It's elevator music. So, and we just did that for 2 years. So Jason Mraz is now one of my all-time favorite artists. And the reason he's one of my all-time favorite artists is one night I just sat down. I'm like, I'm going to go through this album and either, I forget what my reason was. I think it was like, I'm going to find reasons to definitively say why he's a terrible artist. And I hit across the song Clock Watching, and the entire song is about Jason Mraz not lasting long in bed and how he hopes to get better. And I was like, it's so vulnerable. Like, it's so honest and, like, weird and deep. And it like grabbed at my heart. And I was like that, how, I don't understand how he is so honest like that. And I went back like, dude, this song's amazing. And my friend like, what's wrong with you? Are you okay? And I was like, ah, oh no. So, and then for 5 years, I was just ashamed of it. I was like, I'm so sorry. That's my favorite song. I'll never listen to it again. And now I unabashedly listen to it.
Well, yeah, it's been several years ago where you wrote that piece on, was it Mr. A to Z? Was that that album that you wrote like a reflection piece on or whatever?
I don't even remember anymore, probably.
I know you've talked about Jason Mraz at some point, so that one doesn't surprise me as much. But, you know, yeah, I mean, that guy's written some good songs. I don't know that I can point out any particular ones I have a strong attachment to.
I think that one's more, it's not even that it's a bad song, it's more just attached to one moment of just like embarrassment. Yeah. Of like, oh, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean to bring this up to anyone.
Well, this has been fun. I'm going to rattle off a few because I made a pretty long list. One thing I wrote down, I've realized in recent years that there's people that think that the Gin Blossoms suck. I love the Gin Blossoms. I've loved them since they came out. I still love them. I play them regularly. I wasn't going to put them on this list because I don't think they're bad. I think they're good. And all the people that think that they suck, you're just wrong. So I'm doing a special moment here to like shout out the Gin Blossoms for being incredible. A few other songs I put down. I did put down a country song, My Kind of Party by Jason Aldean. I like Jason Aldean. I'm sorry. I don't know why. I worked at a country music station for a while. I think maybe that's part of it. But when that song comes on, you know, I've been known to turn it up a notch. I've got Candy by Mandy Moore, Stuck by Stacey Arrico. There's like the late 90s pop thing that I'm a sucker for it. I'm Sprung by T-Pain, who in hindsight is actually a really incredible artist, even if people were shitty about him at a certain point in time. It's one of those like kind of things that we're all looking back on now and being like, oh, this guy was actually really good. And then lastly, I left this off because I didn't want to make it like about a bunch of scene music, but Stick Stickley by Attack Attack. That's like one band from our scene that has been shit on like intensely for a long amount of time. And that's kind of like their signature song. And it's actually kind of fun. So sorry, but it is. Does anybody else have any final like things they left or just missed the cut?
Yeah, I just have a couple of honorable mentions, but I just want to say, Stuck by Stacey Arrico. I don't know who decided that this was a Christian song, but that was on Wow Hits, maybe like 2006 or something, and it was one of my favorite songs off of that compilation album.
It's so good.
And I definitely have pigeonholed myself there with the Wow Hits, but
You're not going to believe this, Nadia. I saw Stacey Arrico, and this was before she kind of like broke big. She was opening up for Mercy Me. And stop. I happened to be at this concert, and I loved her set so much that I like found her after the show. Cause like nobody, She was just sitting at a table by herself, and I went over and was like gushing. I was like, "Oh my gosh, you're so incredible!" And I got her autograph.
That is so funny.
Yeah,
that is so funny. Mercy me, huh? You really spent the money on that one.
I think the youth group spent the money on it.
Very true. So. My first concert was Carrie Underwood.
Oh,
which is fun.
That's a big one.
Like
so that does go back to the country situation. But I really don't think your honorable mentions were that bad. But my honorable mentions are only Never Gonna Give You Up by, of course, Rick Astley, because I'm the meme queen. And the everlasting pop rock hit Tonight Tonight by Hot Shell Ray. Good song. Good song.
I like that song.
High school dance song that never fails to make me like remember the good old days before, like, I don't know, mental illness or something. I don't know.
Man, I wish I remembered those days.
Memory is fading fast.
Kyle, did you have any that you left off?
I've just got two. One is I Was a Teenage Anarchist by Against Me. And it's one of their like radio hits that I think most of the fan base of Against Me and Lori Jane Grace are not fans of, but I kind of love it. It's my favorite song off the White Crosses album. And I think most of the fan base is just like, it's railed on so hard. Rise Against made fun of it in one of their singles.
Wow.
Maybe not a single, but one of their songs. And the other one, I actually don't know the proper way to pronounce this artist's name. It's either B.O.B. or Bob. But the song Magic featuring Rivers Cuomo is
wow
fire, I think.
It is B.O.B.
I was going to say, if you were about to say Airplanes and slander Hayley Williams, that's it. We are done with the pod.
I didn't mean to disappoint
Hayley so Williams quickly. Has Hayley Williams ever answered for doing a song with a flat earther? We need to address
this. Oh my gosh. Listen, Airplanes is a good song. All right. But not because of B.O.B., because of Hayley Williams. And that's the hill I'm willing to die on.
Agreed.
This was so much fun. I thought it was going to be fun, and it was actually more fun than I thought it was going to be. I hope that you guys had a good time, because I thought this was a blast. And we encourage you, if you have listened this far in the show, send us your favorite bad songs. Follow us on Twitter at @its_all_dead. You can also send us an email, contact@itsalldead.com. But we would love to hear some of your favorite bad songs and even some thoughts that you may have had on our list. So reach out to us and let us know. And of course, as always, look us up on Apple Podcasts and leave us a review if you like our show. Well, I think that about wraps it up. Kyle, Nadia, thank you for doing the show today. It was so much fun.
Thank you. This was a good topic. It's refreshing, you know?
It was a lot of fun coming up with this list.
Yes. I feel like we all have a deeper appreciation for each other.
More
critical feelings about each other.
We like genre jumped more than we ever do. So that's fun.
It's good. Good stuff. All right. Well, that is going to do it for this episode of Long Live the Music. Thank you for listening. As always, we'll get you next time. Thanks for listening to Long Live the Music. If you like our show, come find us on Twitter and Facebook @itsalldead. And of course, come visit our website, itsalldead.com.